Hi, everybody. Welcome to English Digest. I'm Stephanie.
I am Tom.
Maybe for some of you out there, you've heard of daylight saving time or daylight savings time, especially if you've lived abroad. Here in Taiwan, we don't change the clock, which I'm really grateful for. I think it's wonderful just to keep the same clock all year round. But in some of these other countries around the world, they actually move their clock forward or back,Depending on the season. I grew up in a state in America where we didn't do that, so I'm more familiar with, you know, the way Taiwan does it. But we're going to talk about the two sides of this shift with our clocks, the good and the bad, the pros and the cons.
Yeah, it's an interesting concept, and it's probably something that people in Taiwan aren't aware of unless you've studied overseas or worked overseas in countries that have this. Then you will understand it, although you may not approve of it. But yes, there are pros and cons of daylight saving time, and that's what we're going to talk about today. So let's get to it. Let's listen to the entire contents of our lesson right now from top to bottom.Have you ever wished for an extra hour to prepare for exams or finish homework? In some countries, people actually adjust their clocks to gain or lose an hour, all for the sake of daylight saving time, DST. Specifically, clocks are set forward by an hour in March and then set back in November. One of the primary reasons for implementing DST is to make better use of natural daylight,so that people can reduce energy consumption. The concept originated with Benjamin Franklin in 1784 and became widely adopted during World War I. Today, this system is in place in about 110 countries, particularly those near the polar circles. In countries closer to the equator, DST is less useful due to consistent day and night duration. DST offers several advantages,beyond energy conservation. For example, the extended daylight allows for evening outdoor activities during the summer, enhancing physical and mental health. Research demonstrates that more daylight encourages people to shop and dine after work, activities often limited by early darkness, thus giving the economy a boost. However, not everyone is a fan. Critics argue that the energy savings are minimal,because people end up using more air conditioning on those extended hot days. What's more, the time change can disrupt our sleep, leading to health problems like heart issues. It may also make roads less safe, as sleepy drivers are prone to accidents. So is messing with the clock twice a year worth it? The debate continues, but think about this. Perhaps losing an hour of sleep is worth the mood boost from extra daylight,especially to bid farewell to the winter blues. Okay, it's time for us to discuss the contents of today's lesson. We're talking about the two sides of daylight saving time, and this is also our all-English unit for this month, so don't depend on your Chinese teacher to explain things to you. You'll have to figure it out yourself.And yes, indeed, daylight saving time is when the clocks are moved forward in the spring and then back in the fall. And that was always a bit of confusion because we were always asking, gee, when do the clocks change? Well, spring ahead and fall back. So you add an hour to the clock in the spring and then you subtract an hour in the winter. And that's how it's been going ever since I remember, ever since I was a little kid.
Yeah, I grew up without it because I lived in a state with a lot of sunshine. And no one wanted more sunshine because it gets very hot in Arizona during the summer. So I am familiar with it, though, because most of my cousins moved to Utah and they would use that daylight saving time or daylight savings time. I wanted to mention before we continue that...When Tom and I were growing up, we called it daylight savings with an S time rather than daylight saving time. I think the more and more articles that I've seen on this, the more that use just the saving time, DST. But you'll hear people who say daylight savings time and it's not incorrect. That actually is the first sentence in Wikipedia says it's called either either of these names.
Either one.
Yeah.
But to me, it sounds weird to say daylight saving time because I grew up saying daylight savings time.
Me too.
But you can say it either way. I guess they're both acceptable. And we're going to start our lesson with a question. Have you ever wished for an extra hour to prepare for exams or finish homework?Now, it's true that you do add an hour to a day in the spring. Well, wait a second. If you spring ahead in the spring, I think you actually lose an hour.
You lose an hour, yeah.
Because if it's like midnight, then suddenly it's 1 a.m. Okay, so you do lose an hour. So if you're preparing for exams in the fall, well, then the clock will go backward an hour. And in theory, the first day of that cycle will have 25 hours, whereas in the spring, one of the days had only 23 hours.
Yeah, I like it when we actually get to add an hour because we get to sleep later. But here we're talking about some of the pros and cons, the two sides of this particular policy. So we know it started during World War I. They were trying to save fuel and power, and this was happening in Europe, in the United States, where they put this into practice. But after the war finished, nobody wanted to keep it because it reminded them of bad times, of war time. Since then, we've gone back and forth. I think there are some countries that really like it. Most citizens that I've talked to hate it. So I was just talking to Tom before we started. Why do we have it if most citizens don't like it? Well, because your government representatives are paid by people who want it. And so they vote based on who pays them the most money. We're discovering that in today's world. They're not really doing what we want them to do. They're doing what their donors want them to do. So we've gone back and forth. There are some good things about it and some bad things. I guess we're going to start talking about what it is exactly. Tom described it as losing an hour in March and then gaining an hour back in November, meaning we spend most of the year in daylight saving time.
Right, but basically what it means is, for me anyway, it meant that during the summer, the sunset would set later, so it was kind of weird. It was like 9 o'clock in the evening, and it was still light outside.
Yeah.
The sun probably had set already, but still there was lots of light in the sky.
Still left, yeah.
At 9 p.m., so that was kind of unusual. I guess we enjoyed that, of course, when we were kids. We could keep on playing until very late, and we didn't have to go to bed until maybe 11 or 12. Or something like that. And as we're going to find out, though, this affects different parts of the world because of the position you are closer and closer to the poles. Okay, here in Taiwan, it's subtropical, so it would make little difference to have daylight saving time here. So, of course, you don't have it here. But in any case, the next sentence says, in some countries, people actually adjust their clocks to gain or lose an hour, all for the sake of daylight saving time.Or DST. To adjust just means to make a change to something because you need to correct something. This is something you might do every day with your watch. If you wear a mechanical watch, for example, you'll probably have to adjust your watch every day. They're probably going to gain or lose a number of seconds every month, so you need to adjust it. Or maybe your car is not running very well, or your motorcycle's making some weird noises, so you go into the shop and have some adjustments made. They just make little changes. And here, this adjustment occurs in the spring and in the fall.
So specifically, clocks are set forward by an hour in March and then set back in November. Tom talked about some of the ways we talk about spring forward, spring ahead. I hear spring forward, fall back a lot because some people set their clocks wrong sometimes. They actually add an hour in March and then lose an hour in the fall, which is wrong. You don't want to do that. So if your computer or your watches, though, run on digital batteries, you know, it can adjust it itself, I think. My computer does, which is amazing. So anyway, this is one of the reasons where we're going to talk about some of the primary reasons. Primary just means most important or the main reasons for implementing. If you implement something, you put it into effect. Here we're saying DST, but for the most part, I've never heard any foreign English-speaking person, native speaker, say DST. So be careful with using that. It's probably easier in Taiwan, but we actually do say the full name. We don't use the DST, but we will today.
Indeed. So again, you set your clock forward in March, but you lose an hour, and then you set it backwards in November, and you gain an hour. And of course, one reason why this has been implemented or why we use it is to make better use of natural daylight so that people can reduce energy consumption. Here, so that gives us the explanation for the above stuff. Why do we do this? Why do we make changes in the clock? Well, it's because people can reduce energy consumption.And that supposedly is the concept here, to reduce that energy consumption. And that probably would have been very important during wartime because, of course, you need to conserve energy to save gasoline and things like that for the war effort.
Right. So consumption is the noun form of the verb to consume. To consume means to take in. You can take it in like drinking and eating, consume food.Or to use something up, you also consume it. So we consume a lot of energy, maybe electricity as we're living. We consume a lot of that, we use it up. Well, people needed to consume energy during the war for obvious reasons. Now, the concept, this idea, originated or first came from a fellow named Benjamin Franklin in 1784.This man had his hands in a lot of different things. He was a jack of all trades, I would say. He knew so much about different types of things. He never married, so he had a lot of time. He could read and study. He loved science as well. So this idea came from Ben Franklin in 1784, and then we started using it, or it became adopted. If you adopt a practice or some sort of strategy, you begin to use it in some way, and it was widely adopted during World War I. And so if you use that word widely, it just means a lot of people were using it during World War I, which we talked about.
Indeed. So again, this concept or this idea came from Ben Franklin way back in 1784, and they began to use it during the World Wars. And today the system is in place in about 110 countries, particularly those near the polar circles. Okay, we're going to explain that exactly why. A polar just means having to do with the poles of the Earth, the North Pole and the South Pole. The North Pole, of course, is where Santa Claus lives, and the South Pole is where all those penguins live. And, of course, that affects the amount of daylight that you get during the day. So during the summer, if you're in the Northern Hemisphere close to the North Pole, you're going to have lots of sunlight. But during the winter, you're going to have lots of nighttime, and the opposite is true in the Southern Hemisphere. So this is important in countries that are close to the poles. In countries closer to the equator, DST is less useful due to consistent day and night duration. It does seem to change a little bit here in Taiwan because Taiwan is not on the equator like Singapore is, but it's not as extreme.Here in Taiwan as it is in Northern Europe or in Canada or places like that.
Yeah, but you can still feel a difference here. I know when winter comes, we don't have as much sunlight. And I'll look outside and sometimes it's, you know, 5:30 and it's already getting dark. And I think, oh, already. But I appreciate when the weather cools down. That is for sure. So in countries, as Tom said, that are closer to the equator,daylight saving time is less useful due to consistent day and night duration. Duration just means how long something lasts. You could ask, what's the duration of your class that you're taking at the community college? Oh, it's 8 weeks, you know, or the duration could also refer to how long the class lasts. What is the duration of each class you go to? It's 2 hours, you know, it's okay. We are going to take a quick break, guys. We're going to not listen to our Chinese teacher because it's our all English unit. But Tom and I will take a quick break and then we'll be back to continue talking about daylight saving time.
Okay, everybody, welcome back. Let's continue with our lesson. We're talking about the two sides of daylight saving time. When you talk about different sides, you're talking about two different kinds of opinions about a particular issue. Of course, in the United States, there are two sides to the gun control question. Some people support gun control, other people are against it. So you have two sides to that argument. And here we've got two sides about daylight saving time, whether we should have it or whether we shouldn't have it. And we'll talk about our own opinions later on, but right now we're going to continue with the third paragraph. It says, DST, or daylight saving time, offers several advantages beyond energy conservation. Okay, so remember the reason they implemented DST in the first place was to save energy or to reduce energy consumption. Mm-hmm. But there are other advantages in addition to saving energy.
Okay, so let's talk about what these advantages are. An advantage is something positive. It's a benefit that people are happy about. The opposite would be a disadvantage. We're going to talk about that a little later. So what are some of those advantages beyond just conserving or saving energy? For example, the extended daylight allows for evening outdoor activities during the summer. I spent most of my summers growing up in Utah with my cousins. My dad would drive up my family, and we'd stay in our Utah home. We had a summer home there, and we loved the longer summer light or summer hours then because we would stay outside and just play until our parents would, you know, yell at us to come home, and we go to bed then. But I loved the extra daylight at that point in my life. So there is extended. If something extends, it reaches out or it continues. This is extended daylight. And if you're into outdoor activities, maybe you work all day, but you really love to play golf, like some of my brothers. Well, you love that extended daylight because then you can go out and play some golf even after you finish a long day at work. You can still golf in Arizona in the summer until about 9:30 or 10. It's crazy. But a lot of people don't like those extended evening hours. But we're talking about the positives here. If you're outside, you can work on your physical strength. You can get your exercise in. That's really important. If you enhance something, you make it better than it was before. And here we're talking about physical and mental health. Physical has to do with your body. And your mental health has to do with how your mind is doing and how you're feeling. There's also emotional health, and that is improved also if you do some exercise, actually.
Right, and of course, if you're going to school, you'll probably have your PE class, your physical education class, where you can play sports and do stuff like that. Put those phones down for a few minutes and have fun with your actual body. So yes, indeed, some people say that being able to have these outdoor activities later in the day will enhance your physical and also your mental health. Yes, if you do work out, you tend to feel better about yourself and you're more optimistic about the world. Research shows that more daylight encourages people to shop and dine after work. Activities often limited by early darkness, thus giving the economy a boost. This can happen, of course, if you're working during the summer and you get off work at, say, 5 o'clock or 6 o'clock, and you know, oh, wow, there are still maybe 3 or 4 hours of daylight left. So instead of just going home and feeling tired and getting ready for bed, I think I'll go to the shopping mall and do some shopping, or maybe go to a restaurant and have a meal or something like that. So this can give the economy a boost. And the economy is a general system in a society where people exchange resources and they sell things, they buy things, goods and services. It's all a part of the economy. And a boost is just some kind of a help, basically, to increase something. You might want to get a boost, for example, if you want to reach something on the top shelf. Somebody will push you up higher. So, yes, a boost just increases things.
Yeah, here it's a noun. It can also be a verb. If you go to the U.S., well, even here in Taiwan, if you have young kids, if you go to a restaurant, they'll often have booster chairs or booster seats for your kids so they can reach the table because they're so tiny. If they're too old for, say, high chairs, which are actually just the chair that's built really high for young kids. Once they get to be around, you know, I would say 4 or 5, they don't want to sit in those. They aren't babies. That's what they always say. But you might be offered a booster chair, which you can put on the grown-up chair, and then they can reach the table. So, yeah, if you give someone a boost, you help them. Get them somewhere where they couldn't be from before. If you give the economy a boost, you're helping it. And we all want to give the economy a boost. You know, I don't feel very inspired sometimes if it's dark and I finish work. I don't feel inspired just to go shopping. I'd rather just go home. And if you go home, you know, it's just not as active. And you probably will sit in front of your TV or on your phone watching something. It's much better if you can get outside and keep moving, which is always good, especially if you can meet with your friends and be with family. Don't take your phones. Leave your phones at home and go and enjoy hanging out with real people and having some conversation.
Well, the opposite of that is getting up in the morning. If you have to get up early in the morning, then it might be still dark when you get up. And, you know, that could be a problem as well.
That's depressing.
Right. But we're talking about the advantages here. Again, you might enjoy some outdoor activities. You might go shopping. It might boost the economy. However, not everyone is a fan. So these are people who don't like daylight saving time. Critics argue that the energy savings are minimal because people end up using more air conditioning on those extended hot days. So if you're a critic, that means you criticize something, you say what's wrong with that thing. Here in Taiwan, of course, we enjoy a democracy, so critics can criticize the government if they don't like some policies, where you cannot do that in authoritarian countries like North Korea. If you do that, you're probably, you know, you're killing yourself. You're pretty much going to be taken away and killed pretty quickly there.
They will disappear you. That's the new term now.
That's the word, making disappear in a different kind of usage there as a verb. But in any case, these are critics, and they argue or they think that the energy savings are minimal because you just end up using more AC. If something's minimal, it's just small in number and it's not significant. You might have a minimal increase in your salary. Well, they just gave me another 10 NT per hour. That's really a minimal increase. It's not going to really help me pay for my daily expenses.
Yeah, the 10 NT per hour is very minimal if you're getting that as a salary increase. That's not much. So people end up using more AC or air conditioning if they have those extended hot days. That was the problem in Arizona. Nobody wanted a longer summertime because it was just already too hot. And we wanted the sun to go down earlier, so it was cooler. It's still hot, but that's a big problem. So what's more, it says the time change, you know, moving it forward and moving it back and moving it forward and moving it back, it can really disrupt someone's sleep. We have discovered that sleep is essential for just staying healthy. If you don't want to get a cold or get the flu, you need to make sure you're getting a good night's rest. That's really a big part of building up your immune system. So if we're constantly disrupting people's sleep, people get sick faster, more often. And they found in studies that they did that it was leading to health problems like heart attacks, which obviously are very serious and can kill you. But we also discovered that Florida hated daylight saving time because they had a period of time where they had 8 school children who were hit by cars going to school in the dark.
In the morning.
Yeah, they hated it. So usually states can decide for themselves whether they want daylight saving time. They're trying to make it permanent as a federal law in America, but it hasn't happened quite yet. We'll see what happens.
Kind of silly. I wish they'd just go back to standard time and get rid of daylight saving time altogether. That's one thing I like about Taiwan here, because you don't have to worry about changing your clock twice a year.
But if you're, you know, hooked into the United States, I have family there. I'm always having to go, okay, what time is it there now? Hmm. Oh, yeah.
Well, your phone can show you that. You can set something and it will automatically tell you what time it is in Chicago or Cincinnati or whatever, wherever. But again, we're talking about the critics, and they say the savings are minimal. People end up using more AC on those hot days. Ew. And what's more, or in addition, the time change can disrupt your sleep. As you said, it can interrupt your sleeping, and you may not be able to get enough sleep because you stay up too late at night playing and stuff, and you don't get up early enough in the morning. And that can lead to health problems like heart attacks or whatever. It may also make roads less safe, as sleepy drivers are prone to accidents. Here we've got the word prone, and that is an adjective. It just says, it just means that something is likely to happen. I could say that Taiwan is prone to earthquakes because Taiwan is on the Ring of Fire. So, of course, the earthquakes are quite frequent here.
Yeah.
Or Ilan, for example, is prone to flooding because of typhoons that often go through there.
You know, I really didn't define disrupt enough for you guys. So if you disrupt something, you interrupt it, you stop some sort of activity or action from continuing. And here we're just saying, changing those clocks back and forth can interrupt or disrupt our sleep. Maybe you have a classmate who is a very disruptive, that's the adjective form, disruptive. You know, maybe they're telling jokes. I actually like those kind of classmates. But, it's disruptive to the class, to the teacher. So try not to disrupt your class if you want to not get into trouble. So here we're moving on to the last paragraph here. So we've kind of talked about some of the pros and the cons. And we're going to ask you for your thoughts. What do you think? So is messing with the clock, changing it twice a year, worth it? Is it really worth it? Do you save much? They keep, you know, doing these polls with citizens. Nobody wants it. But our government seemed to want it for some reason. And I was looking this up, why. And I read that at least in the U.S., some of these sports clubs send people to Congress, and they try to lobby for daylight saving time. For example, if you're somebody who offers golf, you know, you want the sun to stay up longer so people can go golfing longer in the evening after work. So just keep telling your representatives or your legislators here, or in any country, because, you know, Europe has it as well. Stop changing our clocks. We just want to live a peaceful life and not have to worry about moving forward and moving back all the time.
Well, this debate continues. People are going to discuss this for quite some time. But think about this. Perhaps losing an hour of sleep is worth the mood boost from extra daylight, especially to bid farewell to the winter blues.
Oh, I don't like the winter blues, that's for sure.
Right, people feel kind of sad during the winter because it's darker for longer periods of time.
Yeah.
You don't really feel that so much here in Taiwan. It is longer, the nighttime is longer in Taiwan, but still, it's nothing compared to Canada or Russia or places like that.
Yeah, but the winter blues in Taiwan are because of our weather.
Right, the rain and the cold.
No sun.
And no central heating in houses. That can kind of make it difficult.
That's hard on you, I know.
But in any case, that brings us to the end of our discussion, and it also brings us to the end of this month's edition of our All English Unit. The title was The Two Sides of Daylight Saving Time. It's March 26th, and it's time to change your clocks in the U.S. and Canada or other places. So keep that in mind if you're traveling to those places. From all of us here at English Digest, I'm Tom.
I'm Stephanie.
Goodbye.
Bye.